Chevra. Just to give a very quick introduction to the president of Yeshiva University, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, I just want to get personal for a moment, if you'll indulge me. After teaching in DRS High School for about 18 years, there came a point in time where I was ready to move on to a different place. And at that point in time, there were a few different options of where to go. And the leadership of Yeshiva University at that time was somewhat unclear what it was going to be. It was known that Richard Joel was going to be retiring as president of Yeshiva University, and it wasn't clear who the next president was going to be. And I chose not to go to Yeshiva University at that time. And then, like shortly after that, they announced that Rabbi Ari Berman is going to be the next president of Yeshiva University. And I said, well, if they just would have told me that, you know, that would have changed everything. And I remember I was sitting at a wedding, one of the Hurt weddings, and Lance Hurt, not accidentally, I assume, sat us at the same table. And I was sitting right next to, here I was, teaching in a different institution, sitting next to Rabbi Ari Berman, and he said, you know, Yeshiva University is a very, very important institution in Klal Yisrael. Important enough that I had to schlep all the way back from Eretz Yisrael, uproot my whole life, because Yeshiva University is that important. And my Rebbeim told me that this is my achrayas, that this is what I have to do. And he turned to me and he said, if I had to come all the way from Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to deal with the Cross Bronx Expressway. You're going to have to come back to Yeshiva University. And I'm so grateful that that opportunity presented itself. And every moment that I get to be in NYU is a treat, but particularly because of Rabbi Berman's leadership. You have to understand that when you hear all of these phrases about Torah values, core Torah values, about how Yeshiva University started at Maimed Har Sinai and ends at Geula, all of those things that you hear over and over again, if you're in the orbit of YU, it's not just words. It's the actual direction of the leadership. It's how Rabbi Berman leads the yeshiva. It's with an understanding that we all work for the Ribono Shel Olam. In one of the more controversial types of issues that Rabbi Berman has had to deal with, which I'm not going to get into details right now, in a meeting he mentioned that someone had asked, you know, why did the yeshiva take this particular position? And he said to the Rosh Yeshiva that my response is, I didn't take this particular position, the yeshiva didn't take this particular position, the Ribono Shel Olam took this position 3,000 years ago at Matan Torah. And that's what guides us. And to be part of a yeshiva where the leadership has such a clear vision of Torah values, of what it means to run our lives, and this critically important institution, Al Pi Derech HaTorah, is just an absolute privilege, an absolute treat for me, and it's a privilege for all of us to welcome Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman to give us a shiur this morning.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Leibowitz. I can't begin to articulate to you what I know you already know, which is the absolute incredible schus to be here and to sit every day, all throughout the day, with the access to the wisdom, the kindness, the compassion, the person of Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. Like, to be able to mamash afar raglav and to see a dmut who's a true Eved Hashem in everything that he does, like, what a zchus you have. I'm a mekaneh b'chem that you have this possibility that you're here learning under this amazing, amazing Rav, Rosh Yeshiva, incredible Dugma Ishit of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Having Rabbi Leibowitz come to Yeshiva University, asking him to come back, was the easiest decision that I've had to make at Yeshiva University, by far. And it has certainly helped continue the transformation of our institution. And I am so grateful for his friendship and his support and partnership. And it's really with having colleagues and partners like this all throughout Yeshiva just makes everything that we're doing, both the times that are challenging, the times that are joyous, just a true pleasure, because we're all working for the Rabbono Shalom. And when I say all working for Rabbono Shalom, I certainly also include this incredible family at Camp Kaven, and the incredible family at OL. This is really, all of us are working together for doing just great things and helping move the Jewish mission forward. And as I see him here, I just want to acknowledge the presence of David Mandel, who so incredibly has led OHEL and has such an impact in our community and beyond. And just as chus to be with him and to be in this wonderful, wonderful camp. You know, I want to bring this back to the way that Rabbi Leibowitz left it, which is we all just work for the Rabbono Shalom and everything that we're doing. There's nothing more important for you in your lives. There's nothing more important, and it'll have enormous ramifications in your life if you believe that. If you think that and believe that and guide your life around that, enormous implications. So many things that are challenging in the world today to other people will not be challenging to you, because you will be based on a stable mesorah of thousands of years. And we're going to talk about that. It really changes your whole life once you know that you're based on a mesorah of thousands of years that is kadosh and from Hashem. The whole belief changes your whole life. I want to get there and talk about how it affects your whole life by focusing a little bit on Torah Chaim, which is one of the core Torah values that we focus on at Yeshiva University, and we'll talk about why it's so important. We, of course, know the importance of Torah's MS, of studying Torah, of seeking truth, of seeking MS, of seeking Hashem, Hashem Elokeichem MS, of constantly looking for Rabbono Shalom in all of our lives. All of that is essential in Torah's MS, and also essential is Torah's Chaim, is how you bring those truths to life. So let's read the Gemara together, and we can have a conversation. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara Brachos. Everybody have a source sheet? And there's some extras over here. Does anybody have? Yes? Anybody missing? All good? Okay, Tana Rabbanan. The rabbis teach, Vasafta Deganecha. It says you should gather your grain. Where does it say Vasafta Deganecha? In Shema. What portion in Shema? Vasafta Deganecha? Vahim Shema. Okay, now it's very interesting if you think of the context of Vahim Shema and what this Gemara is about to introduce you to. Tanur Masafta Deganecha, my Talmud Lomar, Lefishinamar, Lo Yamur Sefer Torah Zemipicha. Yachol Dvarim Kichsavan, Tamloma Vesapta Deganecha, Hanig Ben Minig Derech Eretz Divrei Rabbi Yishma. The Braisa introduces an apparent stira, a contradiction, between two psukim. On the one hand, it says that you should gather in your produce. Okay, now how are you gathering your produce? That means you have to go into the fields, and you have to work the fields, and you have to plant, and you have to harvest, and you have to cut, and you have to work the whole field, and you gather in the produce. But on the other hand, there's another pasuk in Yeshua that says, Lo yamush sefer haTorah zemipicha. Day and night, this Torah cannot leave your mouth. It cannot leave your mouth. You're supposed to be learning day and night. So there's a stira. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to be working? Or are you supposed to be learning? It's one or the other. You have to choose what you're doing with your time. What are you supposed to be doing? So Rabbi Yishmael says, Hanig ben minig derech eretz. You're supposed to act according to the normal way of the world. And the normal way of the world is working, and therefore you need to work. We'll get back to Rabbi Shmuel in a second. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai responds, Efshar Adam Chorish B'Shas Harisha, V'Zoreya B'Shas Riyah, V'Kotcha B'Shas Sir, V'Dash B'Shas Disha, V'Zoreya B'Shas Haruach, Torah Matiyale. Is it possible that a person is going to seed at the time of seeding and plow in the time of plowing and winnow in the time of winnowing and harvest in the time of harvesting? And he spends his whole life, he's in the field, and he's gathering, he's doing all the work. What's going to happen to Torah? What's going to happen to it? Ela bizman sheyisrael osim ritzono shamako, melachta nasis aydei acherim, shenemar v'amdu zarim v'ra'u tzonechem. Ubizman she'ein yisrael osim ritzono shamako, melachta nasis aydei atzman, shenemar v'yisafta digenecha. Then what's the answer? That a time when Yisrael is doing Ratzono Shel Makom, the will of heaven, then other people will work for you. At a time when you're not doing Ratzono Shel Makom, then you aren't going to have to work for yourself, and that's the pasuk V'yasafta D'ganecha. You should gather your produce, and not only that, but you will have to do the melacha for other people. Okay? So how does he resolve the stira between the Yomosh Sefer Torah Zemipicha and Vesata Deinecha? He says that one is at a time when the melacha is not done by other people. That's Vesata Deinecha. Vesata Deinecha is, and think about it, if you think about the context of Ahayim Shemoah, it's a fascinating reading of that, of those Tzukim. Vesata Deinecha is when you're not doing according to Ratzono Shel Makom. But when you are doing according to Ratzono Shel Makom, you won't have to work. Other people will be working for you. That's how he resolves the steer. It's a very big machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. How are you supposed to live your life? Lamaisa, practically, what are you supposed to be do? What are you supposed to do during the day? According to Rabbi Yishmael, you're supposed to be working. According to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you are supposed to be learning. Okay. Now, what is the answer to the question? What's the psak? It's a very important question. What's the answer? What are we supposed to be doing? So the Gemara answers intriguingly. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Harbe asu k'Rabbi Yishmael va'olsa biyadon, from Shimon ben Yochai v'lo olsa biyadon. Many people acted according to Rabbi Yishmael, and va'olsa biyadon, they were successful. And many people acted like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and they were not successful. It's an interesting conclusion. Usually a conclusion, if the Gemara is telling you who we pass on, like they say, halacha is like X. But here, that doesn't say what halacha is like. The Abaye is making an observation, a practical observation, that many people have done like Rabbi Shmuel and worked, and also biyadin, and they were successful. And many people have liked Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and they were not successful. Now, this raises a number of different questions. I want to focus on the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. What then would be the conclusion of the Gemara, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael? And keep in mind the question that Rav Shimon ben Yochai asked, which is a very strong one. Torah matiela, what will happen to Torah? So what does it mean they were successful of also biyadan? If they're working in the time of Zriah, if they're threshing floor, if they're doing all these things, what is going to happen to Torah? It's a very penetrating question. It's a very sharp question to ask, challenge to ask. And what does it mean then, but also biyadan, they were successful? In what way were they successful? What does that mean that they were successful? So I wanna understand this through a very important passage that I found from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik himself wrote very little in his life. After his life, especially, people wrote his works, and they published a lot of his speeches. So this is one of the speeches he gave at Chag HaSmicha at Yeshiva University. And he speaks very personally. If you look at source number two, the Rav says, okay, the Rav says, in addition to teaching at Yeshiva University, I consider myself a real friend of the institution. This is not just because I'm a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University. It's much more than a matter of employment. It's rather that the Yeshiva redeemed my soul. Okay, he said, it's true. You know how difficult the American rabbinate is? The rabbi can lose his mind. Anybody interested in being a rabbi, by the way, before I continue? Okay. Maybe we'll draw some comfort. You all know how difficult the American rabbinate is. The older European rabbis lost their head in the slaughterhouses and butcher shops. The younger American rabbis lose them in cemeteries and wedding halls. Since I am half and half, I would have lost my head in both places. Since I'm half modern and half old-fashioned, I would have lost my head both in the slaughterhouse and the cemetery. Exactly. Who did the laughter? That was good. Laughter is part of this. So So the yeshiva redeemed me and spared me from such a destiny. And he speaks about how he learned and in the yeshiva he found his ability to devote time to study Torah, and he's thankful to yeshiva. But my real gratitude to yeshiva is because of another reason. If you look at the underline, we'll start there. I may have very few good traits, the Rav says. But one trait which I do possess is my inability to imitate anyone else. I always want to be myself and to display my unique dignity of having been created in the image of God. The glory of the individual is exemplified by the singularity of every human being. This concept is the motto of my life. I never wish to wear the mask of another person in order to ingratiate myself with the masses. I know the statement of the sages that if I am not for myself, then who is for me? What do sages mean? If I am not myself, I will succeed in acting like someone else, but I won't succeed in acting like myself. Very important. The Rav said, essence of his life, one of his key characteristics, he can't imitate anyone else. He has to be him. He has to be true to who he is. I came to the United States and was thrown into Boston as a rabbi. It was difficult. Laymen like to advise the rabbis. This is true about the lady in Boston, even about my congregants in Congregation Maria. They advised me to Americanize and to adjust myself to the new American circumstances. They wanted me to fit in. I fought them bitterly. I knew that I would lose my originality. If I tried to be what I was not, I would lose my uniqueness and ultimately the divine image within me. I do not like to do what others can do better or just as well. I wish to do that which I am unique at. This is not an expression of haughtiness. No, it's a fulfillment of my intrinsic human dignity and individuality. Even when it comes to Talmud study, I follow the same principle. I had a great Rebbe, my father. My father, an even greater Rebbe, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. I learned a great deal from my father. I can declare, like Rebbe Elazar, how much Torah have I learned, yet I have just skimmed from the knowledge of my teachers like a dog lapping from the sea. As much as I received from my father, I still managed to pass it on to my students in my own unique fashion. I utilize my own vocabulary. True, I must say about my father and grandfather that we drink their water, yet I am writing my own Sefer Torah. And I have my own unique Tav Yad. I do not enjoy it when my students speak in cliches or simply parrot the concepts of brisk. And Rav Schechter told me afterwards, this is exactly the Rav. Like all this shirim you hear about Chepsa Gabra and all these classic says the Rav never used these phrases. He never used the classic brisk phrases. And when he learned the sugya, when he taught it, it was in his language. He did it in his way. And the same with my homiletic lectures. I do not utilize the rabbinical sources and quotations that others generally use in the sermons. I rejoice in being alone and individualistic. If I am found wanting, then my achievements may very well be inconsiderable. However, if I am a pygmy, at least I am my own pygmy who possesses the divine image. I must chart my own course. Our sages refer to Abraham as the only one because he was unique and paved the new way for mankind. I am always attracted to those Gedolei Yisrael who charted new courses. The same is true of my relationships with institutions. I am impressed by institutions that are pace setters and innovative. In the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary of Yeshiva University, I have discovered such an institution. The school is unique. And it's imbued with the honor and dignity of man created in the image of God. This is the secret of my love for and commitment to yeshiva. This is what Yeshiva University is about. This is what I call Torah Adam. Everyone created B'Tselem Elohim in God's divine image. You each need to find who you are. You live in a culture that often is imitative. They often imitate. They force direct you to act like somebody else and to follow the masses. And this is true in all parts of this culture, by the way. In the Western culture, on the one hand, if you stand outside, you will be noted for standing outside and challenged, and even in the religious world. Okay, there will be a natural force to be imitative, to follow what's happening when the what the Olam would say. And the Rav says, you have to find your path. You have to be who you are. Okay, each in the framework of the Torah, that's what's so great about the Torah, the Hirulem Torah mitzvos that Hashem has given us so many in our 613 places where you specialize and find yourself, find your path, find who you are. Torat Adam, be who you are. It's essential to your avodas Hashem. Rabbi Twersky, one of our great Rosh Yeshiva, once put it in a different way to me. He said, we don't believe in a prefab Judaism and a one-size-fits-all. That there's a box that everyone has to be in and exactly act in this box. Okay, you have to find yourself. And that's what's so essential, this whole, the whole holistic way that we educate. You know, not just in your Torah, of course, in your Torah learning, the Rav is talking about learning Torah in the Brisker Derech, but even in your Mada, who you are is in your professional life, in your academic life, if you're a scientist, if you're an artist, if you're whatever, whoever you are, it's all part of developing who you are at your core, your Torah Tadam. That's also part of developing your Tzelem Elokim, God's divine image within you. All you see what's going on around this at Camp Kaylee, the inclusivity, the way that people are thinking about one another. Right, all that develops who you are. Okay, is part of your Tzelem Elokim. Okay, you need to find that. Find those places, develop those places. And I use this as a petach to talk about the Gemara of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is saying everybody should learn, and that's all they should be doing. And Rabbi Yishmael, that the Gemara says also biyadam, that many people did like them and were successful, is telling you that you're also supposed to, that people are supposed to work. And the truth is, what you're supposed to do is whoever you are. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do whoever you are. Meaning, even in the Gemara says that many people did like Rabbi Yishmael, but they were, and also beyond them. But that implies there's a miut of people, there's a minority of people that shouldn't be doing like Rabbi Yishmael. There's a minority of people that should be learning day and night all throughout their lives. We need that group also. Those are our Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbanim, and Poskim, and Dayanim, and thought leaders. We need those people. There needs to be a miut of people. Who they are is to be learning in that way and developing themselves in that way. We, Klal Yisrael, needs those people. We need that. But that's a miut of people. That's in the percentages. That's less of a percentage. Most of the people are not that. Most of the people need to find themselves whatever they're supposed to be doing in life, wherever they're supposed to be doing it. That is where most of the people, that is who they are. That's what their life is supposed to be. That's what it would be to be an Eved Hashem. But wait 1 second, what about the question Rav Shimon ben Yochai asked, which is so powerful? If somebody's at work all the time, Torah Mati Aleh. So let's talk about the majority of the people, not the miyuts. What's going to happen to Torah? What's going to happen to Torah? What's going to happen to his life? What's going to happen to Torah in his life? Okay, so to understand that, this is a classic Yeshiva University and our Kehila, our community question. A very important question. So I remember when I was in, before COVID, I was traveling to a city outside of New York, and a father stopped me, and he said to me, my son is having a very serious problem. He said, my son, he learned at YU, it was a masmid, Baruch Hashem. He learned in the day, in the night. He davened in the Gwak Beis Medrash Mincha. I don't know if you know what that means, but they're probably still davening now. Everything, you know, and he took, he was in our business school, and he did very well in the Seisim School of Business. And at the end of his tenure at Yeshiva University, he landed a very sought-after job in a very high-level firm. And now he finds himself working all the time. And of course he goes to Minyan, you know, but it's quicker. And of course he finds time to learn, but it's not nearly the same hours and time commitment. He said, Torah Matiela. What about his Torah? Where is his Avodas Hashem? That's the question he asked me. So similar to what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai asks. It's the same question, and it very much applies contemporarily. So I want to answer that question by looking at one of our avos, by taking an example from our own story, our own history. Okay, if I asked you, what was the profession of the avos, what would you say? What was the profession? Shepherd. Who is a shepherd? Shepherd. By the way, Ari, what is the... How long can I go?
I can just keep on going.
What is that? Do they have lunch or...
I mean, they have... What time is lunch?
105.
No, 205 is lunch. So they have a seder before.
You're good. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so, oh, you're in cam time. That's so cute. I forgot. Okay. So, right. So, okay, avos. So you said shepherd. Who else, who was the shepherd? Yaakov. Who else was the shepherd?
Moshe.
Who else was the shepherd?
David.
Yiftah. Who else was the shepherd? Moshe said, so he's good. Yaakov, Moshe,
Shvatim.
David, the Shvatim, great. Shvatim were shepherds. Get back to that. Who else was a shepherd? Who else was a shepherd? Before Yaakov? What was Avram? Avram was a shepherd. Okay, so you have all of them shepherds. Anybody before Avram, by the way? Okay, keep that in mind. Any other profession of the avos? When I ever ask the question, what are the professions? Everybody always says shepherd. And you have a lot of shepherds. You have Avram, you have Yaakov, you have Moshe, you have David. Amazing shepherds. Any other professions?
I mean, I don't know if professions, but I guess Avram was a peer to an extent.
That is true. You know, there's not a lot of money in that business. Very similar to today. Very similar to today. But he was in the business of Kiruv. What a great line. That is a great line. He did a lot of Kiruv. Let's keep that in the background about Avram's Kiruv. That's Yafel. What's your name?
Ellie,
of course. Ellie, good point. Ellie, yes.
Yitzchak dug wells.
Say again? Yitzchak dug wells. We know that he dug wells. Your name is? Say again?
Shmuel Rosenthal.
Yafel. So Yitzchak dug wells. But he didn't, and by the way, what wells did he dig? That's very important, Shmuel. He dug the same wells that Avram, his father, dug. It's very important, the continuation of the Mesorah. It's a very important part of Yitzchak's story, that Avram holded as Yitzchak, the Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holded as Yitzchak. That's very important. Now, but digging wells wasn't a profession, right? Digging wells is necessary on many levels. What do you do professionally? What did Yitzchak do professionally? Say again? He was a farmer. Your name is?
Caleb.
Caleb? Where are you from, Caleb?
Yeah.
You look very familiar, Caleb.
Yeah,
I see you all the time. Okay, good. At least I'm not going crazy. Okay, I'm like, Caleb, look at this. This is very familiar. Okay, so Caleb says, Yitzchak was a farmer. Yitzchak was a farmer. How do you know Yitzchak was a farmer? Where do you see Yitzchak being a farmer? Exactly. Generally, all you have to do whenever asking questions is look at the next source. That's good, Caleb. You picked that up right away. So it says, "Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahu, vayimtze b'shanahi me'a sharim be'vrchei Hashem." That Yitzchak planted in the land, and he found in that year me'a sharim, a hundredfold. It's a very interesting part that when the Torah uses the word me'a sharim, that when the Torah refers to the place me'a sharim, it's talking about somebody working. Just pointing that out to you. It's the Pharish. It's Mamish Pharish. Me'a sharim is somebody who was planting in the field, who's a farmer. The Pharish. Okay, now, farming, it's fascinating because there were other people who were farmers in the Torah. And this is, if you want to understand Yitzchak, really the whole story of Bereishis, you have to understand that Yitzchak was a farmer. What Yitzchak loved is the field. He loves the field. How do you know that Yitzchak loved the field? How do you know Yitzchak loved the field?
Next source,
Dominic. No, actually, I didn't. Oh, it is the next source. Okay, good. Be'etze Yitzchak Basuch Basadess. We'll get there. Actually, I didn't mean it this time, but okay, we'll get there. But also, the whole story of Esav and Yaakov. Who else was a... So why did Yitzchak send Esav? If you remember, before the bracha, he said, Esav, I need you to... What did he send him to do? to go into the field and hunt. And what he needed is, what he needed to inspire the bracha, what he wanted to do is smell and be and smell the field. He said, Reach b'ni k'reach hasadeh. Yitzchak loved the field. In fact, I would suggest that's why he loved Esau. When Yaakov was Ishtam Yoshev Alim, but Esau was an Ish Sadeh. And Yitzchak saw himself a lot in Esau, in the Sadeh. Okay? And now there's one other person who is a farmer. Who else was a farmer in Bereishis?
Noach's vineyard.
Say again?
Noach's vineyard.
You have Noach's vineyard, that is true. It's certain, very specific kinds of farming. There's a whole other thing. We should think about that and putting that in the picture. Who else was a farmer in Bereishis? So the Cain and Hevel story is about shepherds and farmers. Okay, all throughout Bereishis is about shepherds and farmers. There's one other person. It's essential to understand the story of Bereishis. Who else was a farmer?
Adam.
That is very important, actually. Adam is very important that beforehand, before the sin, what he was, and then after the sin is an Oved Adama. Very important. Then following with Cain and Hevel. Very important. I wasn't thinking of him for this, but that is important. Anybody else?
Maybe Yosef.
Yosef. Not maybe Yosef. Definitely Yosef. Yosef wasn't just a farmer. He was the chief farmer. Right? Yosef was the chief farmer. He led all the farming. Okay, that's the whole story. When Yaakov dreamed of production and wealth, and he was at Laban's house, what did he dream in? He dreamt in about sheep and spotted and speckled, and he dreamed. When Yosef dreamed, what did Yosef dream of? Sheaves of wheat. The brothers knew that Yosef was different. He was always different. Yosef was always different. The brothers were all farmers. Yosef was, the brothers were all shepherds. Yosef was a farmer. It was bizarre. And he was growing up in the house of Yaakov. He was growing up in a house of shepherds. But he was a farmer. He was different. He was different than they were. And they always thought he was different, by the way. Even until the end, they thought he was different. They always suspected him. It's really amazing. If you think about the end of the story, since we have a little more time, Yaakov dies, and the brothers say, they send somebody to Yosef, and they say that our father said, forgive us. And the Torah teaches us that what they say is they're worried that maybe Yosef was biding his time, and he was waiting for Yaakov to die in order to take revenge on the brothers for what he did. Why would they think that? Yosef just supported them for, 20 years. He just supported them and their families and maternity. Why would they think that Yosef was biding his time? Why would they think that? To take his revenge. Why would they think that? Anybody else in Bereishis said that he was going to do that? When Yaakov stole the bracha from Esav, Esav said he's going to wait until Yitzchak died, and then he's going to avenge himself and kill Yaakov. The brothers suspected Yosef of being Esav until the end of Bereishis. They suspected Yosef was Esav to the. It was only at the end, that last chapter, when there was real nechama, where they really brought, that they finally were convinced that he wasn't Esav. And that's why Chazal talk about the antidote of Esav is Yosef. Yosef is the Esh, and Esav is the Kash. Yosef stands in front of Rachel to protect against Esav. Yosef is the only one who could fight against Esav. Because Yosef is Esav. They have the same kochot, one Lutova, one Lera. But they have the same kochot. Yosef is a farmer. Like Esav, like Yitzchak. They're Ish Sadeh, they're Anshe Sadeh. Now, what's important about that to understand, going back to Yitzchak, just went off a little bit just so you understood Bereishis, is the whole Bereishis is about farmers and shepherds It's all throughout the whole story until you get to the end. So, as somebody points out, the pasuk says, "Vayetze Yitzchak l'suach basadeh lefnot erev." That Yitzchak went out l'suach basadeh. What does it mean l'suach basadeh? What does it mean l'suach?
Converse.
Say again.
Converse.
To converse. So from here, from the word l'suach is converse. Chazal say that this is the makar of mincha, because it's lefnot erev. He went out towards the evening lefnot erev. So he's conversing. It means tefillah. This is the makar for tefillas mincha. And Rashi quotes Chazal immediately. The Rashbam shows that the pshat of the word l'suach means something else. And in Bereishis, when it talks about l'suach, it talks about siach hasadeh. Siach hasadeh are the bushes of the field. That l'suach actually means to plant. That Yitzchak went out to plant in the afternoon. Why did he go out to plant in the afternoon? Because he always goes out to plant. That's what Yitzchak does. If you look at the Rashbam, b'yech l'suach hasadeh, he said, kol siach hasadeh, glomer latat ilanot. He went out to plant the trees. That's what Yitzchak does. And I think it's not a coincidence that the same word l'suach means to plant and also means to daven. It means to plant and it means to daven. And there are three things that I think you take away from that. Three lessons. The first is that when you're planting, you need to stop and daven. Okay, mincha is a great YU tefillah. Okay, because you're supposed to, people are working during their day, you need to stop whatever you're doing, and you need to make sure that you always have time for tefillah, for Torah, for this part of your avodas Hashem. You always need to make sure that there's time for that. And mincha, by the way, these short winters, it's not always easy. You got to really fit it in. Like when you're working, you'll see it's like all of a sudden, wow, it's 4:30. And a second, like you really got to schedule it and make sure that whether it's mincha, tefillah, or Torah, that whole part needs to be part of your day, needs to be part of your calendar. Okay, that's essential. That's an obvious lesson that's essential. That's one. The second lesson is that your work should be seen as a tefillah. That your work should be seen as a tefillah. That l'suach isn't just to work, it means to pray, and that all your work should be seen as a tefillah. And this is what I told the father. The father said to me, how is it that my son, he's this great job in this business firm, where's his avodas Hashem? He's working in this high-priced business firm, he goes to Binyan, he does dafyomi. Where's his avodas Hashem? So I said to him, what we teach in our yeshiva is that his avodah Hashem isn't just in the time when he's learning and davening. His avodah Hashem is every minute that he's in the business firm. First of all, what he's doing to increase thriving and human flourishing, the very activity that most people do during their day, whether it's in the healthcare fields or in business, is helping produce greater quality of life for others. But secondly, of course, the parnasa that you emerge from it, that you can live a life and support your family of Torah and give tzedakah and give charity afterwards, certainly. And thirdly, the ability to be mekadesh shem shamayim barabim. Every second of your day when you're out in the world, when people identify you as a Jew, you have an ability just by being menschlich, with sportsmanship, with character, with kindness, with integrity, and honesty. The way that they'll see everything that you do is an opportunity to be Makadi Shem Shemayim throughout. Every single second is your Avodas Hashem. Every second. You know, one of the great things that happened this year at YU, as you mentioned before, is our basketball team. And everybody in the country and the world, I tell you, literally everybody in the world, knows about the Yeshiva Universal basketball team. The international, the fact that Jews won 50 games in a row and were number one in the country, it like set the play. I go to conferences. I went to a conference with, it was all the faith-based presidents in the country. So you have BYU, you have Baylor, Wheaton, you have all the presidents of the country. The Christian presidents who came over to me and say, how about your basketball team? I'm like, you know, we also learn Torah. We have that. But everyone took the basketball. I was in Vienna on a Shabbos. We were with the students to help settle the Ukrainian refugees in Vienna. Literally, people in Vienna, in language I didn't understand, asked me about the basketball team. What was amazing for us wasn't that they won, but it was how you win. With menschlichkeit and sportsmanship, not just being the first team or the first person to put the ball in the basket, but being the first person to hold up your hand to the opponent when he fell. You know, I told Gabe that my favorite play was when he wasn't the alley-oop, okay, but when he blocked somebody on the defensive side. He stuffed him, took the ball, threw the outlet pass, turned around in the middle of the play and picked the guy up. So that was a Yeshiva University play. Okay, that's what it's the menschlichkeit and the recognition that when you play for Yeshiva, you don't just play for a school, you play for a people. And the singing, not just the Star Spangled Banner, but HaTikvah, or the tefillah before one of the games for the Ukrainian war. All of these are ways of Avodas Hashem. It's all bringing every aspect, whatever you're doing, if you're bringing it into the mindset that it's helping you, it's helping your ability, and you spread the message of Torah, it's all Avodas Hashem. As the Rambam says, that even when you sleep, if you're sleeping with in mind, that you're going to sleep so you can wake up with the intention That also is Avodas Hashem, with the intention to serve Hashem. It's all Avodas Hashem. You know, and that's an essential lesson. Torah Mati Aleh, Rabbi Yishmael asked Rabbi Shimon Chai, asked Rabbi Yishmael. What's going to happen to your Torah? Well, what is your definition of Torah? If your definition of Torah is just the Torah's emes of learning Torah, then it's true. You know, if you're working in the field, so you learn Torah, the time you can learn is going to be less. But if your definition of Torah is living Torah, the Torah's Chayim, so Torah Matiela isn't really a question. Because every moment of your life is supposed to be Torah. You know, it's a famous question they ask, we say, Tosas, the Rishonim ask, and we say Berachas HaTorah in the morning. So usually you have to say a bracha before you do a mitzvah. And if there's a hefsik, if there's a break, then you have to say another bracha before you do the mitzvah again. Right, you go to the sukkah, you go and eat in the sukkah in the morning, you say a bracha, ablesha basukkah, you leave to go to work, whatever you're doing, you come back to the sukkah, eat again, you have to make another leshe basukkah. Why is it that when it comes to Torah, you make a bracha lasok b'divrei Torah in the morning, you go, leave, and do something else, you come back and learn, and you don't have to make another lasok b'divrei Torah? Why do you have to make another lasok b'divrei Torah? And there are a number of different answers, but one that I heard from Rabbi Mori, Rabbi Rosenzweig, was that if you understand that Torah sets the standards of your behavior and all of your actions, then every moment you're doing is la'asok b'divrei Torah. Every moment of your life is la'asok. You've never left la'asok b'divrei Torah. There is no hefsik, right? There's a machog in the Rishonim, if there's a hefsik or there's not a hefsik, is that there is no hefsik. Because every moment is la'asok b'divrei Torah. And that's the Torah's Chayim. Right, that's the type of Torah that's alive. That's what Rabbi Yishmael can answer to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Torah Mati Aleh. And it really is all how you shape your life and the contours of your life. You know, there's a great, I quoted for you a great passage from Rav Huttner in Pachad Yitzchak. Let's read it, we can read it together. That the last source. That Rav Huttner received a letter from one of his students about this question. And his student said to him that, you know, I feel like I'm leading a double life. I feel like I'm leading a double life because I'm at home and my life is filled with Torah and Shabbos and my family. And then I go to work and I'm in the secular workplace. He said, I feel like I'm leading a double life. So this is what Rav Huttner says back to him. If you look at the last page, let's start from Harosh HaMakvali, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top. Harosh HaMakvali. Harosh HaMakvali HaMiskabel Midvarechahu. Ki Zohi Anacha Pshuta Etzlecha. Ki secular career, he double life. The impression that your letter, that your words create, is that a secular, if you have a secular career, you're living a double life. I just want to tell you, I don't agree at all. I don't agree at all to the assumption of your question. I don't agree at all. In truth, the socher lo cheder b'bayis, achiot bo chayi tosha. The socher lo od cheder b'malon, lachiot bo chayi oreach, b'vaday sheyesh lo double life. If somebody has a house, and let's say, make it more extreme, and he has one wife, and he has one family, and then he lives at, that's one place. Then he goes to a hotel room, and he lives there and has another family, and another wife. There, that's a double life. Avamisha sochalo dira bashnei chadarim. But somebody who has one house with two rooms, yeshlo broad life, not double life. That's not considered a double life, that's a broad life. You have two rooms in the same house. Zecharani shebikarti pam b'Yerushalayim b'beis cholam shel Dr. Wallach Shlita. I remember once I went to Yerushalayim and I visited Shari Tzedek, which is the hospital of Dr. Wallach. V'ri'itiv k'shu nogesh l'chola shaya omed l'ikanes l'cheder netuach. V'sholo al shem imo v'chtei l'spalel alav l'fnei ha'nituach. And I noted, I saw that before he treated one of his patients, he came over to him before he went to surgery and he asked the patient for the name of his mother so he can daven for the patient before surgery. And I tell you, I experienced this myself. I made Aliyah about 15 years ago and I was living in Israel for 10 years. I came back for this position at Yeshiva University. And when I was there, my son was riding on a, I forgot what they call it, with the, you know, you have a pole there and skateboard, what's it called? Scooter, or some say, one of those. Wasn't motorized, but he fell and he broke his arm. And we rushed him to the hospital. I think it was Shari Tzedek. We rushed him to the hospital, and he was probably 11. And when we got to the hospital, they saw that it was broken and he needed to be placed. Okay, it's very scary and very painful. And before we went into the room, the doctor came over and said a little tefillah with him. So I want to daven with you before we go, and let's daven together. Okay, and I mean, that's, so he said he saw this from Rabbi Wallach. When I sent over the story to one of the Gedolei Hador of Yerushalayim, Hitzpateh, he expressed, Kama tzarech lekanot b'Yehudi zeh. How much we could be jealous to this Jew, Dr. Wallach, that he has the ability to be Makade Shem Shemayim in such ways. Please answer me, tell me the truth, he says to his student, my beloved student. Him amirat perek tehillim l'shlomo shechola de'rofe ome la'sosat anituach. Him zehu double life. A doctor who davens, who says Tehillim for his patient before he goes into surgery, is that considered a double life? It's Torah Tchayim. It's not a double life. It's a broad life. It's a broad life. You know, and that's the response for Rabbi Shmuel, to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. You know, Torah is MS. We learn Torah. We study Torah. It's part of us, infuses us, it's everything we do. Taras Adam, you have to find out who you are. If you're the person, if you're in the me of the people that you spend your whole life learning, Baruch Hashem, it's amazing. We need people like that. It's essential for Klal Yisrael. We need Mechanchim, Mechanchot. We need Gedolei Yisrael, Poskim and Rabbanim. We need Dayanim. We need the Thali. We need people like that. In our yeshiva, we have the largest yeshiva maybe in the history of the world, or in a large history of the world that focuses on that. We need that. Baruch Hashem. I encourage you. And if you are in the robe of the Olam, This is not a b'di'evit. It's whoever who you are. Torat Adam. Don't imitate others. Find out who you are. And if you're rov of the olam, then your every aspect of your life is Torah. Needs to be Torah. That too is Torah. That's la'asok b'divrei Torah. If you think of it that way, not that it's a double life, but that it's a broad life. That it's a broad life. That's Torah today. I'm just saying one last lesson from the fact that l'suach, it means both planting and it means davening. One last lesson. The first was that you need to break from your time of planting in order to daven and to learn and speak of Eitzim LaTorah, to make sure the Torah is part of your day. Every whether you're working, it doesn't matter. You have to make sure that is all these are part of your day. That's the first. The second is that your work has to be a tefillah. That your work too has to be considered about Hashem. The third, and this is what my daughter told me. I told my daughter this. I was speaking to her about this. My daughter Tamar, who I love so much. And she said to me that also your tefillah needs to be planting. And you need to think about your tefillah as planting seeds for the future. And especially today. That we live in a time, a special time, where we're so close to Geula, potential redemption. We're so close. We're doing Klal Yisrael, especially with Israel, the Reshit Smichat Gulotenu. We're so close. Okay? We need to think of our lives in the greatest context. Not just that we start 3,000 years at Har Sinai, but that we end at the time of Geula. And that all your life, everything you're doing should be considered planting seeds to bring that Geula closer. To bring the Geula, to help the greater Jewish story. And the best way that you could do it, I'm telling you, probably the best way, there's so many ways, but probably one of the best ways, is the Gemara says, V'hafta Shem Elokecha, Shemitahev Shem Shemayim Al Yadcha. Make God's name beloved in the world. What does it mean to love Hashem? It means make God's name beloved in the world. If you can spread the belovedness, the Ava of Hashem, in the world, by all of your actions, okay, that's how you can be planting towards the future. And all the briot that look at you and they say, Kama ma'asav, how great are the deeds of the actions of you do so much good. Not just for the world, not just for yourself, but being Mekadi Shem Shemayim Barabim will help move the world to a much better place, to live your values and help us bring the Geula. And it's all of these things, and you see it here at Keli, so strong with Chesed. When you bring all of our values together, our MS, our Chaim, our Chesed, our Adam, and Sion to get to Geula, you know, you fully live the life that Hashem has destined for you. Whatever that is for you individually, as the Rav said. The life that's destined for you. So, my bracha to you as you take the summer. You're doing so many wonderful things this summer. You have the opportunity to study under one of the great Dugmat Ishit for you to see and to model yourselves after. And Bezrat Hashem, this is continues your own stage, and everything you're doing here is seeds for your future as you continue on your journey and become the great Avdei Hashem that you're always destined to become. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here with you.